Turn to the sixth psalm, Psalm 6. Sin and sadness and sorrow and suffering have been a part of the human experience ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and they ate the forbidden fruit. Suffering, sorrow, sadness, all because of sin. I would like us to remember that suffering saint over there in Iran, American pastor Saeed Abedini. He wrote in February last year, or 2 years ago, February 2013. He wrote, and this is after being a year in the prison, "My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry and my body does not have the strength to walk and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison, who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats. After all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they're only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me. It is during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I can be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of Evan prison. Oh, how beautiful is seeing the light of the shining morning star of Christ in such evil darkness." And then a year later, from another prison, Rajah Shahr prison, is dated December 2014, he writes, "These days are very cold here. My small space beside the window is without glass, making most nights unbearable to sleep. The treatment by fellow prisoners is also quite cold and at times hostile. These conditions have made this upcoming Christmas season very hard, cold, and shattering for me. It appears that I am alone with no one left beside me. All of God's people suffer." Some of them really suffer. Really suffer. This psalm gives words to God's people when they find them in situations, when they find themselves in situations that are so troubling, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say, so they just cry to the Lord. Psalm 6. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled," literally shaken. "My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." The theme of the sixth psalm is confidence in prayer. Confidence that the Lord hears our prayers and he helps us. And verse 9 perhaps is the key verse. "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." The outline for this psalm has two parts to it. part one, the psalmist's trouble, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 8 through 10, the psalmist's confidence. First, the psalmist's trouble, verse 1. Why was he troubled? Well, probably the biggest trouble he had was a sense of God's displeasure. David doesn't say, "Lord, don't rebuke me. Lord, don't chasten me." Sometimes you and I, like David, need to be rebuked. We need to be chastened. In fact, probably all the time, we need to be rebuked and chastened. God is so kind and so long-suffering and so forbearing with us. David is saying, "Lord, please don't deal with me like an angry judge. Please deal with me like a loving father." And the question should come to our mind, well, why does God discipline and rebuke us? Why? And there's a simple answer to that. Because we are His children. And because He loves us. And sometimes that doesn't compute. But for parents should know. We should know. Hebrews chapter 12, we read that this morning, verse 3. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now think about it for a second. How does God rebuke us? How does He chasten us? Well, He rebukes us from His word, but He also rebukes us and He chastens us by His providence. He uses the hard switch, the belt of providence in our lives. Not to punish us, but to correct us. Sometimes the Lord uses providential setbacks in our health, or finances, or relationships. Those are the three areas that I could think of: health, finances, relationships, setbacks. To deal with us, to rebuke us, to correct us. Sometimes the Lord just gives us the thing that we really, really, really wanted. And that is a rebuke. And that is a discipline. He gives us the thing we really, really wanted. And yet yet we wanted something that was wrong. And yet in our self-willed arrogance and determination, we wanted it so bad that our Heavenly Father said, "All right, here it is." And we realized we were wrong. And it becomes a rebuke. It becomes a chastening tool in God's hand. If you think about it, Christians and non-Christians all experience problems, providential difficulties, problems with their health, with their finances, with their relationships. Unbelievers as well as believers experience these kinds of things. But the difference between God's children and unbelievers is how we respond to these kinds of providential setbacks, these hard things. Believers respond positively with repentance and faith. And that repentance and faith is expressed in prayer and a change of attitude and behavior. Something comes into our lives. We say, "Lord, what are you telling me? What should I do?" And we get on our knees and we say, "Lord, please help me. Please forgive me for my sinfulness. Please show me the way in which I should go. Search my heart, O Lord. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." Believers respond positively, and that positive response, it comes through repentance and faith. Keep on trusting in God, Unbelievers always respond negatively with wrong actions, wrong words, wrong attitudes. They get angry, they get frustrated, they get depressed. There's a difference. Psalmist was troubled by that sense of God's displeasure. Verse 2, he was troubled by a kind of physical affliction. David, like many of us, struggled with physical issues. Physical problems can have a very negative effect upon us. David says, I'm weak, my bones are troubled. As I mentioned before, he uses the word, they're shaken, literally terrified. It reminds me of what the letter from Pastor Abedini, he says, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. We all struggle with all kinds of different things. Some people struggle with allergies and arthritis and diverticulitis and dementia and cancer and hypoglycemia and fibromyalgia and thyroid dysfunction and osteoporosis and hormonal problems, side effects from medication, sleep problems, and the biggest one of all, old age. This old body doesn't work like it used to work. Andrew, don't be smiling about that because it happens to all of us. We all get old. Someone says, I'm weak. I love the Isaiah chapter 40. You remember we looked at it a couple of weeks ago? Comfort ye my people. That's the first part. The end of that chapter, Isaiah writes, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that last verse. And I think, especially those of us who get old and those of us have issues, you know, the physical body just breaking down. It's just a tent anyway. The Lord's going to fix your body and make it a mansion. But it's a tent right now. And just go to the Lord, help me. Those who wait upon you shall renew their strength. Will you renew my strength? Help me to mount up with wings like eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint today. I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer. I do. Usually I'm praying it when I'm trying to run around the park. Run and not be weary. But in all times, in all situations, Lord, help me to run. Help me to soar like an eagle. Give me strength in my weakness. David was physically wiped out. He was exhausted and his bones ached. Who knows? Maybe it was old age. And he cries out, oh Lord, heal me. And you know, there's nothing too hard for the giver of life to do. The maker and sustainer of our souls and our bodies can do anything he wants to do, even heal us. Because I don't know anyone that was healed of old age. In Deuteronomy 32:39, God says through Moses, I am he. There's no God beside me. I kill and make alive. I wound and I heal. Jeremiah 17:14. Jeremiah says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. God can heal our physical ailments and problems. God can heal our bodies if he chooses to. He doesn't have to. He can heal us if he chooses to, or what is even better, he can give us grace to smile in and at our adversities. Speaking to everybody over 60 years of age for a second, Dear ones, I have committed to the Lord and to my wife. I've asked the Lord, please, Lord, do not let me to be a grumpy, grouchy old man. Whining about, I'm aching, and let's not be grumpy and grouchy old people. Let's smile at these things. Lord, give me grace to endure the toughest problem that we could ever endure, old age. Grace. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. There was a reason for that. There's a reason for this thorn in the flesh. There's a reason for all things that come into our lives. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's what grace does to you. It makes you smile at her physical problems. And some of us know physical problems. I didn't mention kidney stones. I'll tell you, kidney stones are bad. But God gives grace. He does. In verses 1 through 7, we see the psalmist's trouble, sense of God's displeasure, some kind of physical affliction. In verses 3 through 5, there's something really difficult, and that is spiritual trouble. There's no trouble like soul trouble. And the greatest soul trouble is to lose our sense of the presence of God in our lives. The world doesn't care about the presence of God, but believers do. When God is not present, it bothers us. It really bothers us. We need His presence with us. Now, the question that some people might have, none of you would have this question, but some people might have, well, wait a minute. If God is omnipresent, if He is everywhere present, how can He ever be absent? If the Lord has promised in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then how can He be absent from us? How can He ever be away from us? The real problem is that many times it's not God is away, that we're away. We're the ones that are away. Sometimes because of sin or because of some special need, God takes away the felt sense of His presence. Because of some sin or because of some special need in us or in other people, He takes away the sense, the felt sense of His presence. And when that happens, we're troubled. Ezekiel 39:24. God says through His prophet, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgression, I've dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Isaiah 64:7. There is no one who calls on your name, says Isaiah. No one who stirs up himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Psalm 27, verse 9, David says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. God had not left him, but he felt like God left him. And then the psalmist says here in the third verse, he says, but you, O Lord, how long? And just look at that. Verse 3, my soul is also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Huh? How long? What is he talking about? How long? David doesn't even speak or write and complete a complete sentence. He's just like a lot of us, impatient in tribulation. The script says we're to be patient in tribulation, and we're impatient in tribulation. Our real problem is that God doesn't seem to work on our time schedule. You ever notice that? Ralph Davis, in this text, he says, when we say that God will intervene sooner or later, why does it always seem later? Our troubles, it seems, are as much with God as it is with our circumstances. He doesn't do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. He's God. And you are man or woman. He doesn't work on our time schedule. Verse 4. Deliver me, he says. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake. Salvation and deliverance always have to do with something evil. Some evil thing, some evil person. Mercy has to do with God not giving us what we deserve. Jeremiah writing in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? This sounds like he's making an argument. It almost sounds like he's denying that there's life after death. But he's not. He's just saying, Lord, if you don't deliver me and I die, how am I going to influence the world that you put around me? Lord, if you take me out of this world, there's going to be one less person to give you thanks in this world and praise your name. Verse 6, I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. And my eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Here, the psalmist was very, very agitated and restless. Couldn't sleep. Instead of sleeping, David was troubled. He was crying. Not sure if he's using hyperbole here. He makes his bed swim and drenches his couch. I don't know if you've ever cried, so agitated, so restless. Pastor Abedini does that. I'm sure of it. But where we come from, things are so copacetic, so easygoing. I don't have these kinds of problems. But there are sometimes when we have some kind of an issue, that we just cry out to God and ask him to have mercy upon us. We need to learn to cry. Grown men cry. David cried. Ecclesiastes 2:23. All his days are sorrowful and his work is burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Job says, the days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. He couldn't sleep. Verses 8 through 10, we have the psalmist's confidence. His trouble, his confidence. Very confident. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. In other words, God does hear my prayers. He hears my prayers. It was a conviction. He was more than confident. God hears my prayers. Maybe you've heard the statement, prayer changes things. You heard that statement? Prayer doesn't change things as much as it changes us. And then if God chooses, he can change the things too. But prayer really is about changing us. We change when we pray. When you pray for an enemy and somebody giving you a hard time, the best thing to do is pray for them. And guess what the Lord does? He changes you. He might change this troublemaker, but he changes us. And oftentimes he does change that other person, but he begins with us. God changes things. Listen to Spurgeon. I'm going to close with a couple of quotes. I think I gave you this one. He says, I have adventured upon some things that were far beyond my capacity as I thought, but I've never failed because I have cast myself upon the Lord. You know, as a church, that I've not scrupled to indulge large ideas of what we might do for God. And we have accomplished all that we purposed. I have sought God's aid and assistance and help in all my manifold undertakings. And you need to realize, he had orphanages, he had a school, he had so many things that he was involved in. He had 6,000 people in his church. And on top of that, he had gout, and he was always suffering. And he did all these things. He says, I sought God's aid and assistance and help in all my manifold undertakings. And though I cannot tell here the story of my private life in God's work, yet if it were written, it would be a standing proof that there is a God that answers prayer. He has heard my prayers, not now and then or once or twice, but so many times. That is, that it has grown into a habit with me to spread my case before God with absolute certainty that whatsoever I ask of God, He will give to me. I know that my Lord answers me. As I am sure that a certain amount of leverage will lift a weight, so I know that a certain amount of prayer will get anything from God. As the rain cloud brings the shower, so prayer brings the blessing. As spring scatters flowers, so supplication ensures mercies. In all labor there is profit, but most of all in the work of intercession. God answers prayer. He hears and answers our prayer. You know what the problem is? We have not because we ask not. God hears and answers our prayers. John Piper says, prayer is the coupling of primary and secondary causes. It is the splicing of our limp wire to the lightning bolt of heaven. How astonishing it is that God wills to do His work through His people. It is doubly astonishing that He ordains to fulfill His plans by being asked to do so by us. God loves to bless His people, but even more, He loves to do it in answer to prayer. I don't know if you believe that. I believe that. And if we really believe it, it'll make us people who pray. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do believe. We do believe with all our hearts that You are God who hears and answers our prayers. And yet, it seems like we have a limp wire too often. And we're looking for the lightning bolt coming down from heaven. But we don't look too much, and we don't pray very much. And we're so shallow in our prayers. And we confess to You that we just say a bunch of words too often. Same words, same prayers, again and again. It's a wonder that You don't strike us down for our silly, stupid prayers. Please forgive me and forgive Your people and help us to be earnest, even as David was earnest and honest and sincere in his prayers. Help us, O God, to believe that You will answer our prayers. We thank You for the testimony of men and women of God in the Scriptures and in life who have known that You are God who answers prayer. Lord, You answered the prayers of David. You answered the prayers of Spurgeon. You answer our prayers. Help us to pray large petitions. Help us to pray with all of our souls. Help us to lay out ourselves to You with our petitions, O God, and that You would help us and heal us in our infirmities and weaknesses, that You would not leave us to ourselves. That we won't be whining all day long, how long, how long. Lord, help us to trust in You and to wait upon You. For those who wait upon the Lord Jehovah shall renew their strength. Help us, O God, as Your people, to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Please help those of us who are older not to be whiners and grumblers and complainers. Help us, O God, grant grace to those who are suffering. We pray for Pastor Abedini and for his wife. Help them in their sufferings, O God. Please help them. Help our dear brother, not right now, as he sits next to that broken window in the wintertime. Please protect him. Help him. Keep him warm. Give him opportunities to witness for you. Lord, grant that grace that you gave to the Apostle Paul, so Pastor Abedini might be able to say with Paul that he glories in his troubles and infirmities, and knowing that when he is weak, then he is strong because of Christ. Please bless this man and others like him who are suffering. Father, we thank you for the provisions that you do make for us, this wonderful provision of prayer. Help us to be prayer warriors. Please make us a praying church, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.